Good evening, lovers of the macabre. I'm Alma.
And I'm Lauren.
And this is...
Morbid Possessions.
So we're coming to you from Lauren's closet yet again, and today we'll be telling you guys the story of, drumroll...
Warren Jeffs.
So before we start out this episode, I just want to say this little disclaimer that... this episode has nothing to do with the Latter-day Saint Church themselves, and it is not to talk poorly about the members of the FLDS at all. The church may have evil members, but after doing my research and watching documentaries on the people, it has shown how nice, caring, and wholesome the majority of the members are. They have been brainwashed into subordinates and manipulated into following the beliefs of Warren Jeffs. They do no wrong. The only mistake they have done is trusting the wrong man. They're loving mothers, children, and care about their community. This is not to speak ill of the men with multiple wives. That is the way they were brought up and think. It is when the men treat the woman poorly or sleep with other women, or sleep with women and take advantage of women far younger than them, or women that are underage, that's where the line is crossed. This is a very tough subject about morality and free will. But I need to state that I do not speak badly on any of these people besides Warren Jeffs and the ones who do evil.
I think that's a valid reason.
Yeah.
It's a valid point to bring up right now. This is something that, you know, we both talked about while researching that we wanted to, not victim blame.
Yeah. And especially the Latter-day Saint Church, that is a completely different thing. The FLDS cult broke off from the Latter-day Saint Church. Originally, the majority of the population in Utah were Mormons from the LDS Church who practiced polygamy. The area of Utah asked for statehood, but they were denied due to the dislike of polygamy from the lawmakers. The LDS renounced polygamy in 1890 and Utah became a state. While the FLDS broke off and created their own church and community that still continue to believe in polygamy and believe that it was the only way to reach heaven. The FLDS believe that they need to have three wives to reach heaven, and if the women do not have sister wives, they will not reach heaven either. They believe celestial laws to have more than one wife. So this is the difference between the Latter-day Saint Church and the FLDS. They broke off in the 1800s, so anything we state has nothing to do with the current LDS. To my extent, though, I haven't done research on the LDS, so this is just Warren Jeffs and the evildoers in his community. All right, so Warren Jeffs was born December 3rd, 1955 in San Francisco. He grew up outside of Salt Lake City and was a principal for more than 20 years at a private FLDS academy when he turned the age of 21. He taught math and history, and he would alter reality in his history teachings to his liking. He then became a counselor and a church leader before his dad's death. So his dad was Rulon Jeffs. He was the leader of the FLDS until he passed away in 2002. Then Warren became the leader and was considered a prophet. Warren told his father's widowed wives that they were to live as if his father was still alive. But check this out. Within a week, he had married the majority of his dad's wives, except for two of them. One refused to marry him, and the other fled. Can you believe that?
I'm just questioning, like, where was, like, his mother at that time? What did she do?
I wish I would have looked into his mother.
Because I looked, but I couldn't find anything.
I didn't see anything about his mother at all.
Yeah. All I know is that her name is Marilyn Steed.
Wow. Oh, that is so fucking disgusting.
Just two...
having your dad's leftovers.
Ew.
His favorite wife, Naomi Jessup, which I believe she was his second wife, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, once Warren became prophet, he became more strict, and he even told the parents to take the children out of the academy, and he stated that the public school was evil and that caused the children to become more uneducated, even though history was altered and they were taught strict things that followed their beliefs, but this just made the children more uneducated. So Jeffs was considered the prophet, and he had up to 80 wives. Warren Jeffs also went under the nickname of Uncle Warren. He was a father figure, and he was loved by his followers who lived in communities in Utah, Arizona, Texas, Colorado, North Dakota, Minnesota, and even British Columbia, Canada. The original location of Short Creek is located near the border of Utah. It's estimated that currently there are up to 10,000 members there.
I'm sorry, the Uncle Jeff, like Uncle Warren, just, oh, it's so gross.
Yeah, like just having the children call him Uncle Warren, like come sit on my on Uncle Warren's lap, like, oh.
I want to go take a shower. BRB.
So in this community, the women sew their own clothes and they dress, they wear in long. Do you want to give us a little description of how they dress, Lauren?
Prairie dresses. Mm-hmm. They're covering their everything from their wrists, neck, and ankles. And then their hair must be braided and worn on top of their head because they believe that their hair is their crown. And that they will need it in heaven. So it's a moral sin to cut their hair, and you would be considered wicked if you cut your hair.
That's insane.
Like, you're not even allowed to trim your hair.
Wow.
So split ends for days just happen.
Yeah, so their only haircut is the breakage from the split ends.
Mm-hmm.
So they pretty much look Amish, and they're living an Amish lifestyle, kind of. They have almost no connection to the outside world. Warren took away their TVs. They do have some computers, but no internet, and only a few have cell phones. Members say that Warren got so strict that he didn't even allow hugs or toys for the children. At one point, I believe this was actually once he was already in prison, he denied intimacy and sex between members that were married. But we'll get to that a little bit later.
Oh yeah, I got some comments on that one.
Yeah. So Jeff was in charge of arranging marriages, and he was arranging marriages between underage girls and older men. And when I say older, it could range anywhere from being barely over 18, 19 to being a 50-year-old man marrying like a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
On January 29th, 2004, Jeff said, "If the world knew what I was doing, they would hang me from the highest tree," stated a former member, Lamont Berlow. Lamont Berlow was born in Short Creek and raised in the FLDS. His great-grandpa was John Berlow, the sixth prophet. When his grandpa was prophet, they had TVs, Christmas, and celebrated holidays. It wasn't until the Jeffs came in that they started taking things away. In July 2004, Brent Jeffs, Warren's nephew, filed a lawsuit against Warren for anal rape. And later on in a memoir, he wrote about evidence of sexual abuse by Jeffs on himself, his brothers, and other members of the FLDS. Brent claims the rapes began when he was 5 or 6. Brent's brother claimed committed suicide after accusing Warren of sexually assaulting him as a child. This shit is so fucking dark. And I kind of wanted to do a lighter story this week in comparison to last week. We're not quite as dark as last week, but this does still involve children.
Yes. No one dies by the hand.
No.
That we know of, by the hand of this terrible person.
Yeah. So in 2005, Elisa Walls sued the FLDS Church and Warren Jeffs for arranging her underage marriage, which led to her rape. She was forced to marry when she was 14. To her 19-year-old cousin. This was all the church or the police needed to raid the community and do a search to find incriminating evidence, but they found nothing. Speaking out against the FLDS or leaving the community gets you shunned. Once you do so, you're excommunicated and you're never allowed to talk to your family ever again. That includes your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters. They take your job away. It's basically starting all over from scratch.
And sometimes they'll even go after your children and try to take your children from you.
Yeah. You're deemed an apostate, and I did watch, I believe, we'll talk about this later on, but they had custody of the children in one of the escaping polygamy episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, they were still, they still had a lot of control over those children.
They do.
In 2005, the state of Utah seized control of the church's trust after they determined that Jeffs and other leaders had been using the assets for personal gain. Homes and businesses were evicted. Before his arrest, Jeff was last seen New Year's Day in Texas in 2005 for a ceremony on the YFZ ranch. Jeffs had already been into hiding, knowing that the police were searching for him and were trying to convict him. In July 2005, the police made a $10,000 reward for his arrest. On October 28, 2005, Jeff's brother Seth was arrested for suspicion of harboring a wanted criminal. In May 2006, Jeffs made the top 10 most wanted list for the FBI for evading charges by arranging marriages, illegal marriages, with underage girls and adult males. Warren's brother Seth was in charge of hiding Warren and his bride Naomi Jessup, which was also widowed wife.
Yes.
They were traveling across the country, and Seth recalls taking pictures of them in every state to make it seem more like a vacation for her and like they were not evading the law. During this trip, Warren was doing things that were against his teachings, and he was showing Naomi violent pornography for hours on end and calling it something along the lines of experiment of the week. And he even went out onto Bourbon Street when they were in New Orleans for hours. And when he came back, he claimed he went to see the weak sinners, and he came back and showed her more violent pornography.
Yikes.
This is just, I don't know, like, pornography degrading women, fake snuff films, like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, and, you know, for someone who
watches porn...
No, I was saying for someone who, like, would have grown up in that community, like, it's probably so terrifying to see that. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, she's, you know, would never be exposed to something like that. So then your husband is showing you this.
Yeah.
And it would be terrifying and scary. And I'm sure she was probably a little bit fearful for herself.
I'm sure she was. So, on May 1st, 2006, Warren's brother Seth was convicted on suspicions of harboring a fugitive. He was released 2 months later with 3 months probation and a $4,500 fine. The reward for the capture of Jeffs went up to $100,000.
Wow.
On June 10th, 2006, a man told a local news station that Jeffs was performing weddings in a makeshift wedding chapel inside of a trailer.
How romantic.
Isn't that some country, hilly, bumpkin-ass shit?
How romantic.
That is so trap. I can't. That's so trashy.
As Alma wears sunglasses in the closet here.
I'm wearing sunglasses in the closet. I did not get ready at all today, is my excuse.
Neither did I.
I woke up and drove straight here.
Well, I'm glad I was your first stop of the day to come see me.
So, on August 28th, 2006, Jeffs was pulled over for having a temporary license plate that was not visible on his red 2007 Cadillac Escalade in Colorado. If you're trying to obey the law, don't drive a red car.
Yeah.
The red cars are the most likely to get pulled over, statistically speaking.
They are.
Smooth move, dingus. So, his brother Isaac and his wife Naomi was with him. There were also 4 computers, 16 cell phones, disguises, including wigs, and $142,000 or more in the car.
I'm sorry, wigs as a disguise just crack me up. Because I just think of, like, a really bad, like, Uma Thurman bob.
That's like, what I'm wondering. Was he wearing a wig?
What color was this wig? Was he a redhead?
I need to see a montage of Warren Jeffs wearing different wigs.
Did he have like fake mustaches in there and be like, "Oh, it's me."
Hello.
Oh, Jesus. Now he's using accents.
He's like, "No, it's me."
And
it's Soy Esteban. And they're like, your mustache is falling off, sir.
He's like, no, it's not. He just brushes it back onto his lip.
God damn it.
Jesus, this is... Yeah, wow.
Jesus is watching. So, Naomi and Isaac were questioned, and then they were released. Brielle Decker... So I'm gonna hop into this really fast. Brielle Decker was Warren's 65th wife, and she claimed she got attention from Jeffs at a young age, and everyone said she would marry Jeffs one day. She ended up marrying him at 18. She says the marriage was never consummated, and she was taken to different locations for hiding when he was on the run from the police. When they finally caught Warren, members told her to kill herself, and everyone would think it was an accident. They locked her in a house, but she escaped barefoot somehow. Christine, a former member of the FLDS, took her in and legally changed her name to Brielle, which is what she goes by now. She now lives in an old FLDS home with other women who escaped polygamy. So
I was reading, he had 87 wives.
I saw that. At first I saw 80, but it was 87 confirmed.
And he has 53 confirmed children.
Oh, God.
But he does not remember all of their names. That's he does not remember horrible. His wives' names either.
He only remembers his favorites.
That's disgusting. The second you stop forgetting wives' names, stop marrying them.
Like, if you'd want to just bang them, just bang them.
But anyways, this is where it's turning into.
So, in 2007, Arizona charged Jeffs with 8 additional counts for incest and sex with minors. On March 2007, Jeffs renounced as a prophet, and his brother Nephi said, Warren said Warren was the greatest of all sinners. And stated that God never called to him to be a prophet. Jeffs gave a note to the judge at the end of his trial stating he was not a prophet. Then, in September 2007, Jeffs was convicted of 2 counts of rape as an accomplice for arranging the marriages/rapes. He was sentenced for 10 years in Utah State. On November 2007, an attorney's office in Utah released videos of Jeff talking to Nephi, stating he's not a prophet, but instead is a wicked man that will still continue going to heaven somehow. He also states in the video he had immoral actions with a sister and his daughter when he was 20. How old was his daughter if he was doing stuff to her when he was 20? What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. So, during the trials...
Mm-hmm.
There were tapes that were played that were described as basically training videos.
I heard about that.
And they were with a 12-year-old girl who, a week before the video or the tape was recorded, she was 11, so she had just turned 12. And they go into detail about the assault, and you can hear, like, this feels, like, Warren will say to her, like, this feels good to me, how does it feel for you? And in, like, the smallest childish voice, she repeats back to him, it feels good, sir.
Yeah, because she's not allowed to say that it feels bad. It would be, like, the uttermost disrespect mm-hmm. to him mm-hmm. as a prophet. And you know that shit didn't feel good.
No.
He's fucking twisted.
He's disgusting.
So... On November 20th, 2007, Jeffs tried to commit suicide while in prison by banging his head against walls and then trying to hang himself. Like...
Have you ever seen Jersey Shore?
I have seen Jersey Shore.
You know the season when they're in Italy?
Italy?
Yeah, they go to Italy. And Mike, the situation, he gets so, like, riled up, he, like, hits his head against... the concrete wall, because most of the buildings are concrete.
I feel like I did see this, but I can't remember it.
And he went to the hospital and he, like, hurt his neck and he had to wear this neck brace and he had a concussion from it. And that's all I picture right now is just Warren Jeffs getting so riled up in Italy.
This is one of the older episodes, like one of the older seasons, right? That came out.
I want to say it's like season 3.
Okay, yeah. I saw that a long time ago.
That's one of my favorite shows.
That shit's not so gonna... funny. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. I think it's hilarious. I would still watch it today.
They have it on Hulu. Let's watch it later.
Okay. They have new seasons, too.
They do.
So anyways, on April 7th, 2008, Texan authorities raided the ranch and took 416 children away from their homes after they received a call reporting physical and sexual abuse on the children. The woman was claiming to be a 16-year-old girl married to a 50-year-old man and had already given birth to a child by him a year prior when she was 15. When authorities investigated, the call was false and traced back to a 33-year-old woman who was known for making fake calls in regards to the church. The children were all returned to their homes. On May 27, 2008, a website called Smoking Gun released images of Jeffs kissing his underage wives. You can find these pictures on the internet.
I hate him. He's so disgusting.
So, Jeffs began to engage in extreme hunger strikes for religious purposes, and in August 2009, a judge forced him to be fed in jail because he was just getting so sick from not eating. Like, honestly, at that point, I would turn a blind eye. Like, let him not eat for religious purposes if he dies.
Then guess what? Taxpayers don't have to pay for him.
In 2011, Warren Jeffs took control back of the FLDS. In 2011, Warren Jeffs said he sent a crippling disease to the judge on his case, Barbara Walters, as well as anyone else on the case. He claimed they would get death by disease or by accident. Jeffs chose to represent himself in court and truly believed himself to be the prophet.
Okay, Ted Bundy.
How?
The second
sent them a disease?
Like anthrax in the mail? Now he's trying to be like the Unabomber and Ted Bundy, who's representing himself.
Well, no, because he's saying that he's sending them a disease like a plague. Like, this is some biblical shit. Like, he truly does believe that he's the prophet.
He's insane. And the fact that he's still running the church from behind bars just...
Yeah, I think you had some comments of what he was doing while he was behind bars, correct?
So, since imprisonment, he is still running the church, and he has caused fasting for the members of the church. They have to cut back on food. All of their worldly possessions have to be turned into the church, and they decide whether or not you get something.
They're also not allowed to have sex either, and they have seed bearers, which is a council of 15 men, and they're the only ones allowed to have sex. So they'll literally send three of them at a time, mm-hmm. and the husband and the wife. The husband will be there holding the wife's hand while two of the seed bearers are taking notes, and then the other seed bearer is banging his wife.
This is some Handmaid's Tale shit, if I've ever heard it.
That's what I kept seeing people say when I was doing my research, but I haven't seen that yet. So I wish I would have seen it so I could comment on that.
You have to watch it. It's really good. They can't even hold, like, spouses can't even hold hands, kiss, hug, nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just a handshake and that's it. And there's no toys for children.
That's so sad.
And, you know, when you watch videos of them, most of these children are pretty happy kids. And they said, you know, like, I was watching Escaping Polygamy, which is probably one of my new favorite shows right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some children on there and they were like, oh, we liked playing, but, you know, we had to get rid of all of our stuff because Uncle Warren told us to.
Yeah, because Warren Jeffs thinks if he can't have freedom, if he can't have anything, he wants everyone else to suffer just like him. He's extremely selfish.
That he is. But...
So, in August 2011, Jeffs was taken to a medical center due to being hospitalized after being in a medically induced coma due to being in critical condition for extreme fasting. In December 2012, Jeffs predicted the world would end before 2013 and that all followers should prepare. In 2012, CNN aired a segment claiming the FLDS were using child labor for profit. it was claimed that Warren closed all schools every year for 1 or 2 weeks so women and children would go pick pecans off of trees at the YFZ ranch. CNN went to the ranch after receiving the tip and caught a video of the children picking. As soon as the women and children saw the newspaper, they ran away and scattered. It was obvious that they had been ordered to do that if they saw anyone to maintain their secret. In 2015, there was a bad flood in Short Creek that killed many members and destroyed a lot of resources that they did have. Warren said that the flood occurred because they're not righteous enough and that they deserved it. A former FLDS member, Christine, who also rescued Brielle Decker, moved back into Short Creek and rented a building to open up a resource center for the FLDS and brought them Gatorade and other resources. She helped over 1,000 members that were in desperate need for food, clothing, and an education. It was not easy for her to gain their trust because once you become an apostate, they'll never talk to you again, you're shunned. But somehow she was able to. Lamont returned, who had also left, and he was trying to help, and even though they spoke with him, they still don't say that he'll be able to go to Thanksgiving dinner, and it'll never be the same for him. Lamont says he would like to be able to communicate with his family once again and have everyone be at peace. He's partnering up with entrepreneurs to bring services to the community and increase the economy, but they still shun him. Jeffs was rumored to have a mental breakdown the summer of 2019, which was this summer. He was deemed unfit to give disposition in a sex case for a lawsuit against his sexual abuse. So that's all that I have chronologically for Jeffs when it comes to his case. But I also want to state that Jeffs is a racist, and he once said, "The black race is the people through which the devil has always been able to bring evil onto the earth." He also said, "To marry a person with connections with a Negro means you would become cursed."
Oh my God. See, I didn't know about this. Like, I knew he was a piece of shit, but I didn't know he was that terrible.
Yeah.
God, he's the devil in disguise.
Yeah, once I came across that, I was just like, wow, he's fucking racist too. Like, goddamn.
Like, you're hitting all the stops there of just being a terrible fucking person.
Gosh. Okay. So let's talk about escaping polygamy, because we just started watching this and I didn't know that we were both watching this TV show, and I'm hooked.
I'm obsessed with it. It is so good. So escaping polygamy, there are, what are they, like 5 sisters?
Yeah.
It's about 5.
During the episodes, they'll switch off. They'll have like different sisters on each episode, but I want to say it's about 5.
And they're from the Kingston group, which is a similar...
So the Kingston group, when basically when the Latter-day Saints broke off, or the FLDS broke off from the Latter-day Saints, there was someone named... There was 2 guys that wanted to be prophet, John Y. Barlow and Charles Kingston. So they ended up splitting up because they both wanted to be the leader, and they created the Kingstons and the FLDS. So that is how they split up, because they both wanted to be leaders. So, mm-hmm.
And yeah, can't both be leaders apparently to this church, because they're dickheads.
Yeah, because they're so egotistical that they both wanted to take reign.
Yes. But, so the Kingstons broke off, and these girls are members and of the Kingstons. They left, and they help people escape from polygamous cults. So just they escape from the Kingston group, which they go by the Order and the FLDS. And in one of the episodes, they have Rachel Jeffs come in, and she's trying to save her sister. Rachel Jeffs was Warren's favorite daughter. She was also one of his victims, unfortunately, because he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I want to say Rachel was his first daughter born, mm-hmm. because she was born to his second wife. So she was his favorite.
Mm-hmm. And she has gone on to speak out against her father. She's written books of her story of survival. She's gotten remarried, and she's even expanding her family and helping you know, people escape from this terrible yeah. church.
She actually married a guy that was also from the FLDS, but he was from the British Columbia sect. Mm-hmm. So she recalls speaking out and telling her mom about what was going on with the dad, and the mom kind of confronted him, but nothing was ever done about it, and she was told to, like, be quiet about it, mm-hmm. and if she spoke about it, she would be shunned. And Warren Jeffs, like, there's letters that he would give her after she had spoken out about how he was a weak father and this and that. And the reason that that episode, they were trying to get Rachel's sister out, mm-hmm. the one that I saw at least, but they weren't able to make contact with her. And she had taken all those letters to show her, that way she would know, like, that she should leave with her.
Yeah. And there's a second episode where they go back and her fiance, well, now husband, mm-hmm. went with her because he was so protective over her, and he brought a gun because he was so afraid for her safety. But again, unfortunately, they weren't able to make connection. So hopefully one day she will be able to make connection with her and help her escape from this.
Yeah. So Rachel, when Rachel was married and pregnant, Warren Jeffs told everyone that, because you're not allowed to have sex while you're pregnant in the cult for some reason. Mm-hmm. So Jeffs told everyone that she was having sex with her husband. So they actually took her away from all of her children and put her in an isolated location by herself. Mm-hmm. And she says that all she had to do during that time was to sew, and she started to go crazy. Mm-hmm. And she was away from all 9 of her kids, so I can't imagine how that must feel to be away from your own
children. First of all, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
In isolation. That sounds terrible. But then you're also away from your children, and you're just left to sew. Like, sewing's not the funnest thing in the world to me, so that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. So the Kingstons, since the flood occurred, they're trying to help the FLDS rebuild. They're trying to reconnect and be one once again. But what's fucked up about this is that the Kingstons have been trying to keep a pure line for so long that they're all inbred and it's all incest. So they're beginning to get genetic deformities and slight
mutations
and what's the word, like disorders, where they're starting to come out like defective with their brains and getting like Down syndrome and other sorts of issues. So they're helping out the FLDS, but it's only, they really have that ulterior motive of getting more genes in,
because mm-hmm. they don't want to keep inbreeding. And
yeah, because eventually they're all gonna have issues too, where they're just not going to be able to survive on their own. So they need to get more genes in there. But what I'm so confused about is that the girls that they show from the Kingstons, they're generally, like, pretty.
They're all stunning.
And it's just like,
and they have the biggest eyes ever.
They do. And it's like, if they've been inbreeding for so long, how are their genes still so good?
I don't know. I'm sure every once in a while there will be someone who tries to enter in the group.
Yeah.
And that dilutes that gene pool a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just enough. Ugh. So I'm sure that's how they've been able to survive this long.
But if you haven't seen Escaping Polygamy, I definitely recommend it. Mm-hmm.
It's good. They have a few episodes, like full episodes, on YouTube. But it's originally on, is it Lifetime?
It is originally on Lifetime.
It's really good. I enjoy it. So, you want to go into some updates on shirts?
Yeah, but first, I just want to state that Warren Jeffs has been sentenced for lifetime in prison plus 20 years, so he'll probably never make it out, but he still has control over everyone in the FLDS community. I just genuinely hope that, you know, more people realize how manipulative he is and they're able to make it out. They're still, you know, those girls are really doing a benefit and helping get out mm-hmm. people that want to get out. But I'm just hoping that they're all able to get out, or they're able to realize that their prophet is a wicked man, and they're able to, you know, live their own lives within the community and just prosper without having that negative energy ruling them.
Yeah.
So we do have an update on the shirts, and this is very, very, very frustrating. So I put in the reorder finally, and I got my refund, and by the time I received the shirts again, it was the incorrect order. Once again, wrong shade of white. So I just went ahead and put in an order from a different company, and we're never purchasing from them again. So we really hope that this time we will have shirts in screen printing sometime next week.
Fingers crossed. We're so sorry, guys. Thank you for bearing with us.
We're so sorry for those that did pre-orders and are excited to receive the shirts. Like, I promise we're working on it. It's not our fault. I'm so sorry.
We will get you your shirts in. We are so thankful for you guys.
We're so very thankful.
Yes. And we have some more designs to come. We're working on those right now.
We do. So yes. After this mini launch, if you guys don't hate us yet, we should have another launch by the end of the year, hopefully. Yep. Fingers crossed. So next week, we're going to have a very interesting episode. You guys are going to want to stay tuned. We're going to do something a little bit different and have a compilation of, drumroll, unresolved mysteries. So you guys stay tuned. We love you guys. Thank you guys so much for your continued support.
Yes, let us know what you guys want to hear. Follow us on Instagram. Email us if you have any suggestions at morbidpossessions@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook. Any other things?
Facebook.com/morbidpossessions, probably.
There we go.
yeah, so just stay tuned, you guys, and thank you so much for your continued support.
Thanks, guys. Stay morbid. God, we're dorks. Bye.
Bye.